Well, Friday afternoon, evening, I guess, I was able to sneak away to go down to my parents' place to do a little deer hunting, and but I got out of here way later than I needed to, than I should have, and so I got to the field really late, and the deer were already there, and by the time I got there, they were there waiting, and I spooked them, and they ran off, and that was that was my hunting for Friday. But it was still beautiful. I love getting out, and I don't get out nearly as much as I would like to, just out in the woods and all that. But as I'm walking along, it's something that kind of, I don't know, this gospel has been rolling around in my mind. I read it a few days ago, and so I'm pondering on it as I'm walking along deer hunting. And I notice the path that these deer have throughout the forest, you know, throughout the woods, the fields, the creeks, you can see a deer trail from a mile away, and there's the signs all over the place of, you know, they scrape on the trees, and they have droppings and the hoof prints, and if you want to know the shortest, easiest path through the woods, watch the deer. They know what they're lazy like everybody else. The path of least resistance, they will find the easiest path to get through the woods. And so as I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking about the deer, you know, walking through and the deer paths and all this stuff, and what John the Baptist is saying, quoting Isaiah, his words, quoting that. A voice crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill made low, the winding roads will be made straight and the rough ways made smooth. This idea of this path, this journey, this highway, we're building this super highway for the Lord to come in and the Lord and his returning. That's what Isaiah is getting at. That's what John the Baptist was proclaiming in preparation of the coming of Jesus. And that's exactly why we have this gospel in the middle of Advent. This idea of make straight the path, prepare the road, prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. But just like with a deer path, you know, if one deer kind of goes through a field somewhere, you'd never be able to tell. It's like, you know, the grass will grow back over and you'd never know. But if 1,000 deer take that path all the time, it looks like a superhighway. It's worn down. It's the grass doesn't grow back through, and you can see exactly where they go. So, I don't know. This idea of creating a path, creating a highway, make straight, make level. Now, I've never built a road, so to speak, and I doubt many of you have, but you know, how does this apply to us? Are we supposed to rent a bulldozer and go make a straight path? No. We're not talking about a physical road. But maybe in a certain sense we are. So the idea of making straight the path of the Lord, that absolutely applies to us as much as it does to anybody else. But here's what I mean. In neurology and the study of the brain, it's that science has been advanced and tremendously so in the last several years. But you know, and they say, and I'm sure you've told your kids this, like your brain doesn't fully develop until you're what, like 25 years old, and then that's when it's like your brain is fully developed, and that's why, you know, teenagers don't necessarily always make the best decisions because their brain is not fully formed, right? And they don't have the experience. And there's some of that's true. But what they have found in neurology is that we can create what's called superhighways in our brains. There's this the path that we travel on when we have a repetitive action over and over and over again. What happens is our brain learns to make that connection and associate those two things together. And it gets to the point, the more we travel that connection between one thing or the other, what happens is that neural pathway becomes myelinated. It's an insulation that is packed around that pathway, so that it makes it easier for the synapses to fire and for that electrical signal to travel back and forth. It's called a highway, a neurological highway. And it does that, and they can see it particularly when it comes to, again, repeated actions over and over and over again. Which, by the way, is why you see professional athletes. Tiger Woods practices putt 10,000 times because he's building a neural pathway, the muscle memory, so to speak. And you can see that in all kinds of things that we do repetitively over and over, particularly in addictions. In addiction study, they've been able to find that, like, yes, your brain stops developing, so to speak, it's complete, so to speak, at 25, except when we build these superhighways, when we build these neurological connections back and forth. And the older you get, the harder it is to build that connection versus young kids whose brains are forming and they're just little sponges. But the action or behavior that we repeat over and over and over again, our brain likes to make that a standard and create a highway so that it's easier for us to access. And that, again, really, it doesn't even matter what we do. We do that over and over again. Repeated behavior. This happened to me, like it happens with cell phones. Like our brains, where we are, and when it comes to addiction, we have some sort of situation that we don't really like. We're not comfortable. We're bored. We're lonely. We're tired. We're stressed, whatever it is. And our brain will have that signal and say, hey, I don't like this. I want something else to get me out of that. So our brains will offer us a plethora of examples. Well, I could have a piece of chocolate. Give me some endorphins. Gets that going. I could, you know, I'm tired. I'm sitting at my work, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm at my desk, and I'm falling asleep. My brain will send a signal, hey, go grab a Mountain Dew. That'll get you a jolt, right? So this idea, here we are. There's something, a stimulus I don't like, and our brain will propose, here's a way to get out of it. And when we do that over and over and over again, that's what produces addiction. And with phones or whatever. That happened to me the other day. I was at a restaurant, and you know, I was the first one there, and I had 5 minutes or so that I was waiting on the rest of the party, and I'm sitting there waiting by the door for a table to be cleared and everything. And what do I do when I'm standing there? Cell phone in my hand. I didn't even think about that. It's not like I consciously said, hey, I'm going to pull up my cell phone and just scroll through Facebook. It wasn't until the phone was actually in my face that it dawned on me, like, that was a completely automatic response. I have trained myself when I am bored to pull up my phone and just scroll. And we all do that. You know what I'm saying? Like it's an automatic response. We have built a highway in our brain. Now you take that and you apply that to our gospel. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight his paths. Make the highway, make the rough way smooth. If we can do that in some ways that are either, you know, not good or indifferent, could we make the same highway for the Lord in our minds? They say it takes 28 days to establish a pattern or a habit. 28 days, repeatedly over and over and over again, 28 days to establish a habit. And I ask people all the time, when I meet with people in counseling and they're like, hey, you know, Father, this is my problem. This is what's going on. I'm trying to make a decision, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'll ask them point blank, have you prayed about this? And so often I get this blank stare back of like, I hadn't even thought about that. And I guess my question is, how often is the Lord a conscious part of our thought? How often throughout our day do we actually, actually stop to think about the Lord? To ask for his help in difficult circumstances? Or to thank him when something is going well, when we have something, a beautiful sunset or something that happens? Is it automatic? Is there a connection between I've received something good and I will return my heart and my mind back to the Lord? And if not, I think that's what I'm proposing, that we use the season of Advent to be intentional about building a path for the Lord in the brain, in the mind, in our hearts, that we strive to constantly, as much as we can, as often as we can, return back those thoughts, turn them back around to the Lord, invite him into what's going on in our lives. Say a little quick prayer before you get in your car and you drive to work. Say, you know, just those small things where we're constantly making that connection between our hearts and the Lord and what's going on. It actually builds the path of the Lord.
Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.